Okay, welcome everyone, and a special welcome to our Kids Club, youth, and our young adult families that are joining us today. Thank you for coming out to encourage and bless Taya and John on the next stage of their journey with God, and please be sure to join us after the service for the farewell luncheon. A couple of things. Now, I know I'm going to say something very controversial right now, but I actually enjoy the snow, and I think it's been great having the snow this weekend. Being able to be out and play with the kids for us has been great. I know some people have more difficulty with the shoveling and the snow and the ice, and that's just a reminder that I wanted to give people is our parking lot sections of it are certainly very icy, so let's make sure that we are taking care of and looking out for each other as we move back and forth to our cars. One of the other challenges with the snow and ice that we've had is it does cover up the parking lines that we usually use. And I was just walking back and out and in from my car, and I noticed in a couple of places, we are actually parked three deep in our parking lot, which means the middle person is blocked in. So especially with the fact that we're going to have some people leaving and some people staying for the farewell luncheon, just to think about that, have a double check of your car and make sure that we're not blocking in somebody that is actually going to be trying to go home after the service today. Don't forget to read through the bulletin, as there are many things to take note of, including the restart of Kids Club, of junior youth and senior youth, of our coffee break, which is the Bible study on Thursday nights, as well as the upcoming games night. Our call to worship this morning is coming from Psalm 40, 1-11.
I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand.
He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him.
Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods.
Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare.
Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require.
Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart.
I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know.
I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help.
I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly.
Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. Just one more announcement before we continue on with the service that I forgot to mention. For those that aren't aware, there is nursery available for the children following the children's story.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the people you have placed in our lives. Thank you for those with us a short time, for those with us a long time, and for those who must leave us too soon. Thank you for those that care for us, support us, and show us your love. Help us to be an encouragement and blessing to them. Help us to share your love with all the people you place in our lives. Lord, we lift them up in prayer. We ask that you meet their needs today and that you would touch their hearts so that everyone would know how good and wonderful you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Like to invite the children to please come forward. I think we've got just a few more coming. Friends, All right. So I want to tell you guys a story about one of my students in my class this week. Now, I'm going to keep them anonymous, so I'm going to call them Jack. All right, so Jack, he is in JK, and he just started school this year. And now he came to school in September, and he did not know his numbers. Just like most of us, when we start school, we don't know that. We have to be taught that, right? So he's been working really hard since September to practice counting from 1 to 10. Now, by now, it's after Christmas, so most of his friends, they've learned 1 to 10, and now they're all working up to 20 and 100. But Jack, he's still working on 1 to 10. Now, he's kind of feeling left out. He's feeling a little bit behind, right? All of his friends are counting super high, and he's still working on that 1 to 10. But he's working really hard, and he's practicing every single day. And so, this week, when we came back from Christmas break, guess what? He finally could count from 1 to 10, and he wanted to show all of his friends, and he wanted to show us, and we were all super excited and super proud that Jack had finally reached this really big accomplishment. Now, he wanted to go in front of the class in the morning and show all of his friends how he could count to 1 to 10. So, in the morning, we let him stand up in front of the class, and he was going to show all his friends, but he froze. He couldn't do it. He was too scared. How was he going to do it? And so it was just kind of quiet, and we were rewinding to Jack to let him do it himself. And then all of a sudden, all of his classmates and all of us teachers started to cheer for Jack. And they were chanting his name, and they were saying, "Go, Jack, you can do it. You're going to do great." And they were encouraging him to show us his really cool new skill, his new talent that he was super excited about. And Jack did it. He counted from 1 to 10 in front of all of us, and we shouted hooray, and we had this huge big party for Jack, and we were so proud of him, and he was so proud of himself, and his friends helped him do that by encouraging him. And I'm sure, just like Jack in the story, you guys can all think of a time when maybe you weren't wanting to do something, but you were a little scared or you were a little nervous, but your friends, your family, they encouraged you and you helped you do it. So one of the Bible verses that Paul is going to talk about today, it's from 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and it says, "Encourage one another and build each other up." So I looked up the word encourage in the dictionary. Now, I know what encourage means, and I'm sure you guys do too, but sometimes I like to look up a word just because it helps me understand it a little bit better. So the dictionary says that encourage means to give courage, to give hope, to give confidence, or to help and support other people. So God tells us in the Bible that he wants us to encourage each other because he knows that we need it. He knows that we need to help each other and support each other and give each other courage and confidence because we can't do anything alone. So sometimes the world is kind of scary or we can feel kind of sad, just like Jack did. But we know that when we have the love and encouragement for others, we're not alone and we can do anything. So just like in my story, Jack was scared of what to share what he'd learned. But his friends encouraged him, and they gave him the courage and confidence to stand up in front of the class and share. And their encouragement built him up and made him feel special. So now we, all of us here, we can do the same thing for other people in our life. Maybe your friends or your family or maybe... or your cousins, yeah, or people at school, or maybe even people here at the church. We can use in words of encouragement like, "Good job," or "You got this," or "You're amazing." Just those simple little phrases can mean so much to someone. And they're especially important in our church community here because those positive and kind phrases, they can be used to encourage each other and build us up in our faith and our relationships. So I want to challenge you guys this week to find someone who might need to be encouraged, just like Jack's classmates did for him. So maybe it's at school, or maybe it's at home with your siblings. Give someone a kind encouragement with some positivity, okay? All right, let's pray together. Let's bow and pray. Dear God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for these wonderful children and this congregation. Help to bring us together as a church community and lead us to encourage one another and build each other up. We do this in your name. Amen. You guys can go sit down.
Thank you, worship team, for leading us in song this morning. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord to offer our praise and our thanksgiving to the Lord. In a few moments, we'll be reading the rest of the story. Megan read and was sharing with the children. I just love Jack. I love the fact that Jack's class cheered him on and encouraged him. But in a few moments, Sister Ruth will be reading to us the rest of that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 passage. But we do want to spend a few moments in prayer this morning. That little green insert causes me to praise, causing me to give thanks. And is our treasurer here this morning? He's downstairs. Can he hear me down there? He can? All right. I expect Alvin, our treasurer, to sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Well, that's the financial report. And of course, as Alvin says in the bulletin, there will be a more detailed report when we do have our annual meeting coming up first week in February. In the bulletin, you would please take note as well. Our condolences again are extended to Kathy Reimer and the members of the family at the death of her. What a moving service that was on Friday. And thank you to all those who participated, the volunteers who assembled and assisted in that regards. But our prayers are offered up for members of the extended family. Also, we have some good news. The family of Waldy Hyder, he is being moved tomorrow to Shavers. So we praise the Lord for that good news as well. So that's the update there. Let's join together in a time of prayer, and then we would have the reading of the scriptures. Let us pray. How good it is for the people of God to assemble in community. For God, you are good all the time. Thank you that you fill our minds and our hearts and our bodies with the breath of life. For the breath that is your Holy Spirit, that in silence, in quietness, in our private places, but also as we assemble as a community of faith, we lift up our hearts and our voices in praise. And we do pause this day and acknowledge your hand upon the life of this congregation. We thank you for the many men and women and youth that make up this congregation. Oh God, may we be just like the classmates of Jack and encourage, cheer them on. For in this community of faith, oh God, we recognize that there are men and women and youth who need that little bit of encouragement. We all do. And so we give thanks to you, God, for those who volunteer amongst us, who serve in different capacities, in their serving, in their setting up of tables, serving as our ushers, serving in the office, and those who speak amongst us, our teachers, and those who go about encouraging. We pray for those this day whose mind are filled with memories of a beloved one. For Kathy Reimer, and for the members of the family, whose minds would be filled, yes, toned with a little grief, and yet also filled with a lot of wonderful memories. Be close, we pray, O God, to those who are experiencing weakness in body, or mind, or soul. Minister to them by your almighty Spirit, infusing them with the daily grace that they need. Give direction, we pray, in our lives, our individual lives, and the life of our congregation. We thank you for the progress that appears to be happening in the life of Waldy, and we pray for him as he would seek to benefit from the physiotherapy that he would be receiving. As a church, God, we move forward on bended knee, praying, Great Shepherd of the flock, that you would bring into this place a shepherd who would serve as our lead pastor. Even during these hours, impress upon us the necessity of fervently praying and waiting on your timing, and impress upon that person the calling that you have on their life for this time. We thank you, God, that you have given to us many within this congregation who do serve amongst us, and we do pray and give thanks for those. May their numbers increase. And we cast our eyes beyond our local community and pray for those that are in war-torn regions of the world, for the hundreds of thousands of families that have been separated, dads, husbands, brothers, from their families, the loss of life that has occurred because of violence and conflict. And we pray this day that into the lives of those that have experienced loss, for those who are in the midst of fleeing these regions, that you would bring into their lives caregivers, peacekeepers, that would assist them during these days. Lord Jesus, you have instructed us to bring before you our tithes and our offerings. And as we would regularly set aside that which is yours, we offer it to you as an act of worship. And we pray and give thanks to you for your provision for the needs, the expenses that occur within this congregation, and as we support mission efforts beyond this church. Lord Jesus Christ, you have given to your church a model of prayer, and we offer up to you now our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us now listen to the reading of the Holy Scriptures.
First Thessalonians verses, chapter 5, verses 11 to 28. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard with each other because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
May God speak into our hearts, into our lives, the reading of God's word. Thank you for that this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 will be the key text this morning. I also would just like to mention when staff got together prior to Christmas and when we met as a worship committee, we considered themes that we might develop following Christmas and before the beginning of the season that we call Lent, leading up to Easter. And with one accord, there was this sense of community, community life, the church. Who are we? What are we involved in? What is our tasks? How are we to be together as a community? And so between Pastor Randy and myself, these Sundays leading up to the beginning of the season of Lent, which begins the last Sunday in February this year, we will be preaching a series of messages that we will be choosing on community life, the Church of Jesus Christ, building one another up. How I love to hear the scriptures being read and love to be explained. Now, as Megan and I were talking this week, she was saying, well, where are you going with your sermon, Paul? Because I'd like to have a children's story. And it was bang on. It was perfect. I've always said that if we pick up the key truth from the children's story, you can fall asleep during the sermon because you will leave here with a central truth. I know when the staff were considering after the summer, which we enjoyed so much, our outdoor services, I know one of the emphases that we talked about when we would gather back into worship again, I can remember Taya saying time and time and time again, we've got to get back to having children's stories. And can I hear an amen? It's wonderful. And if we have any more volunteers for the children's story time, it would be great. But so anyways, when I was talking to Taya, I says, well, Taya, I'm going to be talking about the church. And just what are some of the ingredients in the church? And I thought you were going to use my little illustration. You forgot about it. Okay. How many of you grew up with this thing? Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the doors, and there's all the people. Okay. So, Megan, you said, "Oh, that sounds like I remember doing that." There you go. Well, save it for another time. But that story this morning was bang on. So, thank you very much. Basics of church life. Kurt and Tanya read from Psalm number 40, which is the assigned psalm in the lectionary for this Sunday. What a wonderful psalm that is, that gives us hope and gives us courage. I love the words that are found in some of the other psalms where David gives to us a glimpse of God and that divine presence in our life. In Psalm number 90, there is a phrase in Psalm 90, verse 1, that says, God, you have been our dwelling place. Amen. All generations. And I realize this morning that I am addressing youth and young adults and older adults. God, you have been our dwelling place all generations. It's like a home, because a home is a place of shelter and refuge and safety. He has put my feet upon a firm foundation. God, you have been our dwelling place. You're my home. I have made the Lord God my refuge. Psalm 73 and verse 28. God is like a home, because a home is a place of rest, a place to be refueled. And I just don't mean at the luncheon. I mean as the scriptures are being read. And as we listen to the word, as we sing the songs, that which we believe. God is like a home, because a home is basic. It's a universal need. God is like a home because it's a space for some of our life's most intimate and important relationships. I've heard many Christian brothers and sisters say to me, my brothers and sisters in the church are closer to me than some of my blood relations. Isn't that the truth? It's our home. And we share our griefs. And we share our joys. And we take steps forward in our growth as Christians. And when we fall, we have Christian brothers and sisters who are part of our home community who are there to assist us, to pray with us, to encourage us, to counsel us, to encourage us, to build us up. Being at home with God, in God's presence, in community, leads us to that truth that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you who have embraced this precious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are in Christ. Yes, we are in the church, but we are in Christ. Christ died for us so that whether we are awake or whether we are asleep, we may live together with him. That was verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10. We could have read the entire chapter, but we chose to begin at verse number 11. What a precious truth that is, that whether we are alive, the church active, or whether we are part of the church triumphant in glory, we are in Christ to be at home in God and in the church means that there are certain basic truths, certain facts for church life. To entitle this sermon, as I have, Basics of Church Life, it may sound rather rudimentary. It may sound rather primary or basic, but we use that term in many pursuits. The basics of first aid, the basics of classroom protocol, the basics of calculus, the basics of bicycle repair. Today we wish to look at the Apostle Paul's, I call them almost crib notes, the basics of the Christian life. It's because we are in Christ and how and where Christ has placed us. Christ has placed us in the church. We are in God's home, in Christ. And in this passage this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we catch a glimpse of some of those basics. The stuff that is to be a part of the fundamentals of our community. I like to refer to this chapter as being full. It's full of all kinds of good, solid, practical truths. It's interesting that in the first 10 verses of chapter 5, those first 10 verses, they give us lots of excellent theology. The Apostle Paul giving to the early church an understanding concerning our relationship in Christ, but also the glorious truth, read that text, of the coming of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ a second time. So he's saying during this interim period, as we await the blessed return of our Lord Jesus Christ, here are some practical matters as to how it relates to us who are in Christ, who are in the church. And I begin by just kind of summarizing some of those truths of the theology of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in those first 10 verses. We look at verse 6, and the Apostle Paul writes in verse 6, so then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and let us be watchful. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6. This chapter contains so much more than a description of what we sometimes refer to as the blessed hope, the coming of Christ to receive us to himself, and thus we will forever be with our Lord in the God's glorious presence. Paul deeply challenges the Christian to be fully engaged, to be watchful, to be alert, to be attentive, to be filled with faith, love, and hope, to never give up. That is the tenor. That is the undercurrent. That is the strong undercurrent that Paul is describing in these verses. Be watchful. Thus he challenges us to be each other's cheering team. Just like Jack's classroom. Are we each other's cheering team? Paul writes in verse 11, encourage one another and build up each other. Don't allow it to wane. Don't allow it to trickle out. Don't allow your ministry of encouragement and watchfulness towards one another, don't allow it to wane. And I speak not only to the older members of our congregation, but to the younger members of our congregation. Because the scriptures are encouraging us to tenaciously hang on. Keep at it. Do not grow weary. Now, you dear seniors out there, I include myself. I'm not going to give medical advice. I'm just a preacher, blue collar preacher. As we age, the dopamine is beginning to weaken a little bit. The serotonin's beginning to weaken a little bit. And you don't have the energy you had when you were 35. And some of you are saying, Paul, I wish I had the energy of an 85-year-old. There are times that I watch these 85-year-olds going about and being active and doing things. But there needs to be a commitment on your part, sir, sister, as an older adult, that as your body begins to give evidence that it's weakening a bit, to keep on being tenacious and saying, I'm still going to commit myself to some of those goals. I remember one occasion, I wanted to hand a Sunday school manual to a middle-aged adult. Maybe they were 55. I said, we could really use somebody to teach the junior high boys. And this person said, I've served my time. I've served my time. There is no retirement for the child of God. We may refocus. We may choose areas of ministry that our energy level allows us to have. But we need to be watchful that we remain tenacious in our work for the Lord. And then I have a story of a young adult. A family member, actually, went to Karenport, Briarcrest Bible School, went to WLU, Wilfrid Laurier, served as a missionary in Africa for a number of years. I thought, what an example of somebody who had committed themselves to serve the Lord. He came home. He got picked up by a church as an assistant pastor or in some capacity. And somebody looked at him the wrong way. Said something to him. He said, I'm done with this. I'm done with this. You're going to get bruised. You're going to fall down. People will say things and do things. But when I think of that family member, and he was a model in so many ways for me as a younger person. And so he left the ministry. Oh, and by the way, he became a high school teacher, but that's only, teaching is okay too, all right? He became a high school teacher and a librarian and so on, had a very successful year doing that. Be watchful. Let me hasten on to verse 12. Be respectful in verse 12 and verse 13. So yes, this is where that verse is found to be respectful. Be respectful of your leaders. And Paul adds, make their job a little easier by being at peace amongst yourselves. Verse 13. Do we still practice that? Seeking to be at peace with one another? To respect those who work hard among you? How thankful we are for the men and the women who volunteer and give leadership within our congregation, within our community, who work hard amongst us. I've always said this. Pastors are paid to be good. Volunteers are good for nothing. And many there are who are doing good work, and we need to seek as much as possible to be at peace with them, to encourage them, to see the work that they are doing. The men, the women who wait on tables, who set up tables, those who serve in our audiovisual, those who repair situations within our congregation, who give and give and give of their time. Let's seek to be at peace with them. To honor them, to be respectful of them. I move on to our third full, and it's be mindful. Be mindful in verse 14 and verse 15. We urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the weak, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Always try to be kind to each other, to everyone. That's quite a task. Be mindful of one another and what is appropriate for that particular situation, that particular brother, that particular sister. Warn the unruly. The unruly person who goes AWOL, absent without leave. Seek to bring him back, her back. Comfort the feeble-minded, those who are too ready to give up, to say, I can't do it. We know some are inclined this way more than others. Support the weak, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and physically, and seek to be patient with all. I love the words that Eugene Peterson interprets these very practical verses of verse 14 and verse 15. Peterson interprets these verses this way. Get along among yourselves. Each of you doing your part. Our counsel is that you warn the freeloaders to get a move on. Gently encourage the stragglers and reach out to the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. Be patient with each person, attentive to individual needs, and be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other. And always do your best to bring it out. Very practical words interpreted by Peterson. Be mindful. Be respectful. Be watchful. Verse 16 tells us to be joyful. This of course, is one of the two shortest verses in the Bible. Jesus wept. Be joyful. This is probably the hardest to keep, to practice day in and day out. Be cheerful. Be joyful, no matter what. Eugene Peterson interprets it. Let's all monitor our disposition. Nobody wants to hang around with Oscar the Grouch. Who here has not said, "Oh, you must have got up on the wrong side of bed"? Is your disposition contagious? How we need the joyful brothers and sisters within our community of faith. It's contagious. Or do people think, "I don't want to hang around with him or her because he or she is a sourpuss"? May our church be filled with joyful souls. I hasten on. Be joyful. Be prayerful. Verse 17. Pray continually. Paul's letter to the Thessalonian church contains his own personal references to how and when he prayed, and he thanked God for the Christian community. In chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 3, Paul writes these words, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." What a wonderful prayer. Pull that text of Scripture, chapter 1, verse 3. Pull that model for prayer and practice it amongst our community. Later on in chapter 2 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes, "We always thank God continuously because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it. Not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." How do you pray for your leaders, the workers with our children and our youth? How is it do you pray that the teachers and the preachers, that their words would be bathed and soaked and saturated with the Holy Word, the Scriptures, that their growth might be in Christ because we are sharing the blessed truths of the Holy Scriptures? Not human opinion. Not human ideas or human personality, but the very word of God. Be thankful. There's so many be fulls in this text of Scripture. That's your homework assignment. Take these last paragraph and just open them up. Be thankful, Paul writes. Give thanks in all circumstances. God, we thank you that during this time in our life, in our church life, we find ourselves awaiting direction. But during that interim time, when we are still praying for and seeking a lead pastor, but during this time, we thank you for the men, the women who serve amongst us. We thank you for the contacts that are being made through the different programs that we have. Be thankful when bad things happen, when evil happens, when conflict happens, when things happen that are not good, and we don't have answers. God, we thank you that you are still God, that we find ourselves in Christ. We hope and we have faith in you. We thank you. Verse number 19 and the following verses. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. I love this. This is one of those catch-all baskets. This is one of those tossed salads where we have all of these fulls, and we do not have the time to go into them this morning except to say this. What unfolds here is this catch-all basket. Don't suppress the work of God's Spirit in our lives. Don't put out the fire of the Spirit. That's what he's saying. Allow yourself to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led in your service, in your encouraging, in your building up. He goes on, don't stifle the word of the Lord as it is delivered. Give it free rein. Poor Ruth there without a microphone that was active. Don't stifle the reading and the hearing of the word of the Lord. Let us always give priority to the public reading of the scriptures. Don't stifle it as it is being read. Let's hear it. Don't be a softy for being fooled and led away, for being gullible. Check everything. Do your sound diligence in all things. You study the scriptures to make sure the things that are being spoken from this pulpit are true. That's what Paul urged. Do discard anything that is tainted with evil. May our congregation be such, may our community of faith be such that we examine that we are walking in the truth. And that we are setting aside anything that is tainted in the wrong direction. Do abstain from anything that looks, smells, tastes, and acts evil. Avoid every kind of evil, the Apostle Paul writes. May our congregation be one that is kept from evil and kept to the truth. Be watchful. Be respectful. Be mindful. Be joyful, be prayerful, be thankful, and in all things, according to the scriptures, be faithful. May God be pleased to grant to us in this place, in this community of faith, the truth of his word. May it be so. Worship team, please come and lead us.